Welcome back to Dink Talk. We've fixed our errors and we are ready to go where we actually will hear two voices on this podcast and not one, as my phone immediately starts ringing. Okay. Anyway, we fixed the phone problem and now we're up to the preview of week three of college football. Let's go over week one. We missed our week one podcast, which we tried to review in week two, but we couldn't hear Eddie's voice. I think we went 3-2 in week one, Eddie, is that right?
Yeah, 3-2 in both weeks.
3-2 in both weeks, which is 60%, which is definitely a percentage you can make a living off of if we keep going at that rate. What's your overview on week three? I know that you always say that this is one of the tougher weeks for you.
Yeah, this is a tough week. Week three is really, really difficult because you have such a small sample size. You're trying to judge teams based off of maybe one game because they played an FCS opponent. You don't really have a read there. It's a difficult one. You want to look for dogs, catching points in undervalued situations. Bookmakers did a pretty good job this year and kind of making sure that a lot of the dogs that people wanted to play really didn't have an opportunity to. Things are moving much quicker in the football world these days. Lots of places are opening on Sunday, totals and sides at really big limits, something you didn't see in the past. You got to be really, really prepared. I'm as prepared as anybody, but they caught me by surprise for sure. I mean, at noon, when they're taking three dimes on totals, it's definitely a little bit different than it used to be for sure. So you really got to be on your A game if you're going to hit openers or get down early in the week before numbers move too much.
Did I see that BetOnline put up their sides yesterday for next week? Is that possible?
Oh, it's possible. I don't know. I mean,
I think they did. I didn't really look at it because I can't make a line on these games. But
yeah, no, I don't really mess around with BetOnline. I probably should. They do everything through Bitcoin, and I always lose money in the transfer, so I just give up on it.
Okay. Bitcoin's a little bit not the sure thing it was about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, no, I'm like 0-5 and money overnight transfers when it comes to Bitcoin. So I try to stay away from Bitcoin.
And as soon as you see it, you take it out and put it somewhere else. But by the time you see it, it's already gone down.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So I've kind of given up on anything that's 100% Bitcoin transfers. But hey, BetOnline's a great shop from what I understand. I got limited there a long time ago, but I guess they don't do that anymore. And, you know, they take real bets from real people. So God bless them. I mean,
yeah,
good book for sure.
I didn't know they limit people. That's the first I heard.
Oh, long time. No, they changed management probably 5 years ago. I remember when they had the openers, the really, really soft openers, probably, I don't know, and me and you are around 2014, and right, I was hitting right for the nickel max. And yeah, they cut me off just flat out. But, you know, I could get my account back. I talked to the guy there that's on Twitter. I don't remember his name, but he seemed like a really nice guy. And I've heard nothing but good things for a long time now from a lot of different people. So yeah, I've
never heard anything bad about BetOnline. I don't want to doing free publicity for bookmakers, but
right,
I've never
right
heard anything bad about yeah BetOnline. Limits are low when they open earliest, but that's the way it is. Whoever opens first is probably going to have lower limits.
Sure. Unless it's Circa takes a real bet at open.
Circa is a different animal, but they don't take as much as they take the next day, right?
No, but they still take a pretty decent size for sure. Take much higher than anybody else I remember from back in the day. And now you have Chris opening at three dimes, 1500 on sides and totals. I mean, you know,
but Chris is opening later, right?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, they're getting more aggressive because they have more information to work with, which, right, you know, you can't blame them. They're smart.
No, everybody can do whatever they want as long as they treat everybody fairly.
It's good stuff.
That's the business. Nobody has to go first and put up full limits. That would be asking way too much.
Yeah. How's the flood situation, by the way? You getting everything worked out?
See the contractor at 1 o'clock, and then he'll make a bid and talk to the insurance people, and then we're ready to repair.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. What a day.
It's amazing what those rooms look like for 20 minutes of flooding from an overflowed toilet while I was watching Brunson beat Till and losing money at the same time as losing three rooms of my house.
Oh, yeah, that's not fun at all.
That was a negative EV thing for sure.
Yeah.
I've lived in this house 11 years. The toilet never overflowed, ever. So I don't know why it chose that time. But
could be worse. I had my main break in my backyard like 8 years ago. That was a complete disaster. I had to have everything dug up. And oh my God, it was just nuts. It was $20,000. It was insane.
Which anyways. Insurance took care of that though, right?
Yeah, but it was a big, big hassle. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was months and months and months. No, I still ended up paying about $8,000 out of pocket, I think.
Okay. I'm just thinking about little things that's going to affect my work and maybe the podcast if people are just banging all day. I don't know when we can do it, but I have no idea when it's going to start and what it entails. So, on with week three so we can make money so I can pay for the...
Okay. all right.
How many games do you have to give us? I know we're late in the week. It's Friday.
No. It's okay. I picked out five. I'm gonna preface that one's a little smaller at the number, and I'll start with that one. It's the very first game, 109, Michigan State, Miami. I'm down pretty heavy in this game at below 55 and 56 even, but 56.5 is still a number I would bet. I made this game 59. I think that Miami is a really, really good team. They just happen to play probably the best non-Power 5 team as defense, defensively at least, in App State. Okay, and then
let me interrupt you for a second because you didn't say what you're betting here. You're betting on over, is that correct?
I'm betting over, correct. Okay, yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, go on, I'm sorry.
No, I apologize. You're right. But anyways, I think that Miami's offense is a lot, lot better than what people may think. They played a really, really tough defense last week in App State, who's really undervalued on defense. And they played Alabama week one. So the sample size here shows that they're not a good offense. That's not accurate. They have a tremendous quarterback, plenty of weapons. I don't like Michigan State that much at all. I think Michigan State, when we look back at this line, people will say, why didn't I take Miami? But the one thing Michigan State does have going for them is they have an all-conference running back that they got from Wake Forest. They have some weapons at wide receiver. Five returning starters on the offensive line. They can do some things on offense. Miami has been known to give up points. They do play awfully fast, Miami. So I made this game significantly higher at 59, 59 and a half. So 56 and a half is still a play for me. It's just not a big play.
What's the total right now?
56 and a half. Yeah, across the board. There's some 57s popping up, but you can still get 56 and a half. You can even get 56 and a half minus 08 at Pinnacle.
And this is a smaller play than the next four, is that correct?
Yeah, if it was 56, if it was 56, then it would be a normal size play. Anything 56 and below would be a normal size play for me. A pretty big play, though, nonetheless.
And in the world of college football, 56 is a key number, am I right?
Very much so, yeah. The next one will be Toledo. And okay, so I came into this season, and I always start with, like, you know, I go from bottom to top. A lot of people start with Alabama and then go top to bottom. Colorado State was among the bottom teams for me. They do nothing well. And now they're missing two wide receivers, one of them, which was everything to them. They have no way to move the ball on Toledo here whatsoever. They're going to be a run-based offense with a running quarterback. Toledo sees that every single year in the MAC. And Toledo is just stacked front to bottom. They're head and shoulders above everybody else in the MAC. There's a few teams that might give them trouble later on in the season, but Colorado State does nothing for me offensively or defensively. They lost to Vanderbilt last week after going up 14-0. They had nothing for the rest of the game offensively. If Vanderbilt can figure out your offense, Toledo's going to have no problem whatsoever. I laid the 13. It's up to 14. I'd lay the 14. I made it 17.5. It's really just a mismatch of talent here. Not really. Something I'm going to worry about is Colorado State's tight end. That's their only weapon on offense. Their defense, pass defense specifically, is putrid. They're just not a well-coached team, and they don't have a lot of talent. So Toledo minus 13.5 is a good play.
And you'd lay 14 without question.
I would lay 14, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. And then next game we'll go down to would be Cincinnati and Indiana.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Hazel loves that thing.
This is the return of Irving's mom, Gail.
Oh, okay. No, tell Gail I said hi.
I'm getting a no, it's not. It's just a chucking of a random barkathon.
Oh, all right. Now my dog's going crazy. She heard a dog barking. She's okay. Running around in circles now. All right.
Is attending to the dog issue?
Oh, no problem. I'm a dog lover. We're both dog lovers. I don't mind.
I'm hoping three is to betting a dog, at least. Is
it? next play would be Cincinnati and Indiana, number 127, over 49 at Chris and Pinnacle. It's shaded to 49.5 pretty much everywhere else. There's a really, really great angle here. I don't know if you consider it an angle, but Cincinnati, this is their season, okay? Like, Cincinnati has to win three games this year. They have to beat Indiana, they have to beat Notre Dame, and they have to beat SMU or UCF. I don't remember which. But they have to do these games convincingly, okay? Indiana is no slouch, though, whatsoever. They can pass the ball. I still believe Michael Penix is very, very good. He has an All-American wide receiver. They have a stacked offensive line that's a little bit bigger than Cincinnati's defense. And then on the other side of the ball, Cincinnati's not going to be – neither one of these teams are going to be able to run on each other. They're going to have to pass the ball constantly. You have a Heisman candidate. And Riddler at Cincinnati, the quarterback, I don't know if that's legit or not, but I know the kid can do just about anything. And we saw it last year towards the end of the year that Cincinnati is getting to the point where if they get a lead, they try to really pound it in. They're going to try and do that if they get any kind of lead here. If they don't, then they're in for a shootout. I don't know why this total is so low. Nonetheless, I made it 54. I was hesitant for a few reasons because Cincinnati's defense is so stacked, it looks like on paper. But when you have two teams that know that they can't move the ball through the ground, you're going to get a lot of passing. You're going to get a lot of stop downs on incompletions. I like the over in this game, especially at 49.
Okay, hey, that's a pretty big difference of 5.5 points between your line and the curve. So,
right.
Sounds like a max bet.
I don't think it's max. It was a normal size wager for me. I tend not to go crazy.
Do you come up with a lot of totals that are 5.5 points off the line?
No, not very often. But at the same time, I think that you know that I've had a problem making very large bets in the past. So I try to keep everything either flat or a little bit bigger. I don't like to go crazy in the beginning of the season either. I literally have a one game sample size with both of these teams, not even a one game sample size with Cincinnati. They played Miami, Ohio, and then an FCS team that they didn't care about. Okay. So I'm still on the fence about what this offense is going to look like against a real defense. So at the end of the day, I have to trust my numbers, but I don't think I can go wild on week three. Not only that, I'm more of an in-conference guy, so I have no history with these two coaches playing against each other. You never know. One might come out and play a shell. So, yeah.
Okay. The many details of what could go wrong and when you make a bet.
You're right. Yeah, exactly. The next game will be 171-72. And that's Troy and Southern Miss. This is a very, very interesting game in the fact that Southern Miss made a coaching change to Will Hall from Tulane, the offensive coordinator, and he was going to really, really turn around the offense. Well, week one, they couldn't move the ball against Southern Alabama, and they lost all of their quarterback talent to the transfer portal. They went straight into a shell against Grambling last week, winning 38-0, and their quarterback, the only one that they had left, got hurt. He's injured. It's very doubtful that he's going to play. They're going to go with what was their fourth string quarterback last year. He's more of a runner against a Troy defense that is absolutely phenomenal against the run. And then we have Troy on the other side of the ball, which is an air raid, but they take forever to snap the ball. They're very, very slow to get the things moving. I don't really like this coach at Troy, Chip Lindsey. He was supposed to be an offensive guru. He just runs an air raid that's slow as snails. These are two very, very similar teams in the fact that they're supposed to have better offenses than what they've shown. And we're going on year three now with Troy really underperforming on offense. Southern Miss has a very, very good pass defense. Very, very difficult for me to see this game going over 51. With the quarterback injury, I was at 51 prior to that. I don't know how much of a difference a bad quarterback being injured makes, but I lowered it to 49. And I can honestly say it's now, now I made it 48 somewhere in there, but it's more of just a play on the fact that I don't think that either of these teams have an offensive identity and both their defenses are much better than their offenses. So under 50.5 or under 50 is fine. You're seeing some 49.5s pop up there. So I would probably get on it if you're going to bet it. Okay. So and
one game of the five that have been moving. Is that correct?
It's not moving. It's pretty steady at 50.5, 50, but there is a 49.5 at BetOnline now. So
okay. I don't know. BetOnline has lines that are half a point off and not always indicative of a future move, but sometimes they are. It's a hard read for me at BetOnline.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They move with their money, but they have a lot of sharps, but they'll move with square money too. That's my opinion of what they do.
I don't know enough about
them. Don't jump on a BetOnline move and thinking it's going to be something that's going to be market followed. That's my advice on BetOnline trying to read.
All right. And then the final game is another under. It's going to be Arizona State BYU 199. Very, very simple approach here. Arizona State is a very, very ball control based offense. Now, they look different on paper because if you use last year's stats, they put up 77 points in the last game of the year. So it skewed people's stats and the thought process behind them. They are completely run-based. They don't have a lot of wide receiver talent. All their wide receivers are very, very young. They do have a very good quarterback, but he's more of a runner in this system. And then you have BYU on the other side, who was very shockingly good on defense against Utah last week and pretty good on defense against Arizona the week before, considering that Arizona threw the ball 50-something times. Nonetheless, BYU's offense does not do it for me. It's very vanilla. It's going to be very vanilla for the remainder of the year. The Zach Wilson quarterback is now playing in the NFL. The new quarterback is not accurate whatsoever. They're going to keep very ball control as well. Both these teams are trying to run the ball and trying to run clock. Arizona State has a tremendous defense, probably top 15 in the nation. I like the Arizona State side, but it's gotten very far away. The under is a much better play at the current number of 51.5, which I'm still shocked that it's there. Well, I guess it's now down to 51. It was 51.5 last night, 51.5 at Circa. Nonetheless, I like the under in this game, and it's probably my favorite play of the five I've given you.
Okay, there we go. Just in time for the landscapers to be here, and the dogs going crazy. the reason you didn't hear that is I had them on mute for a while. I had myself on mute for a while, but
okay.
Now I think we should sign off before hell breaks loose here.
Yeah, I agree. All right, have a good day, Deke.
All right, good luck. We'll get a podcast next week a little earlier than on Friday. Thanks very much, Eddie.
All right, no problem. Bye. Talk to you later.